Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Joining me today is Angelia Burgett, who is the Tourism and Arts Director for the City of Mattoon. Angelia, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I know we've had a couple of issues with having to reschedule, and that seems to come up fairly often. There were some internet issues, but that's not uncommon. But I'm so glad that you're here, because I want to pick your brain about all things tourism related. So would you give a little background about yourself to the extent that you're comfortable sharing?
Sure. I'm just nearly at my 20th year with the City of Mattoon. And it's dynamic in the sense that it's been the job has changed so much since I started. We originally started with a tourism office, a tiny office in City Hall. Tourism was a relatively new department at that time. And then it evolved. I'm located in the train station now. Oops. You might have heard that train go through. Then we added in arts, and so now we're the arts director position is a part of this job, and we do now have a place in the train station in Mattoon in the depot. So the evolution of this job has been pretty incredible, and for me, it's just constantly exciting because it's just constantly changing. And so we're just about to hit 20 years, and it feels like it's a blink of an eye.
Well, I guess so. It's what sparked your interest in the tourism field? What in your background made you focus toward that?
Well, I started with more of a marketing focus, and it kind of bled into this job. There's so many marketing pieces to this job, so that seemed like a nice segue into I had done a marketing position with a local company to the city, and so it seemed like a natural move. And so it's been interesting because Mattoon has changed so much that when I started, it was just a different kind of job. And we did a lot of things with events that we're starting to expand on now. So it was more of a good accident.
A happy accident, as Bob Ross would say, right? The painter.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I think very few people really would stay in a position that long if they weren't really intrigued by all the possibilities that it holds. So, how is the department funded? Is that funded through taxpayers?
Or? Yeah, so we have a couple different revenue streams. One of them, the primary, is hotel motel tax. So we have a hotel motel tax budget that is funded completely by the Mattoon hotels. And then as we move into sort of the event side of what we do, we have a lot of sponsorship and donations that are a part of that. So it primarily comes through taxes, but there certainly is a little bit extra to that when it comes to community events and tourism events.
Well, there's been such growth out on the east side of town with the Emerald Acres and the hotels that are going up out there. That's and the shopping areas that are going up out there. That has to be a big boost to the opportunities for collecting money.
Oh, I totally agree. We have, Mattoon is a small town, but it has so many things that I think the key for me, especially just reflecting back on being around for a while, is that the foundations were built long before I got here. The sports foundation, for example, there were so many traveling sports teams in and out of Mattoon way before it was a trendy thing for communities to put their focus on. And so when Emerald Acres became a possibility, for me, it seemed like a natural extension of what Mattoon had already done really well. And so we see a lot of other communities, and it's a great thing to do for a community. Youth sports can be very beneficial. And so the idea that other communities are doing it as well, totally understand that. But for us, it just felt like this makes sense.
Well, and then too, I know that the other part of getting the people in here and into a place like that is all the places you want them to visit once you get them here. So that also dovetails with the tourism department too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I think we're, Mattoon is a very event-focused location. I think it, once again, this is a foundation I think was built long before I was around. And so these events are just continuing to grow. And as I'm getting deeper into my time with the city, you know, I know other people are looking at, you know, retirement and things like that. People want to move to a place where there's good things happening, where there's events for families, where there's where there's activity. And so I think we're just well-positioned for all the things we want to accomplish as a community, because of so much activity and so many events and so many good people putting the time in for it.
Well, and two, I had Tom Daugherty from Casey, who's the economic development director down there. He'd been on, and we talked about, you know, the towns having to stay, to revitalize and to change. And I'm a native of Mattoon, and to the changes, it's so easy for people to fall into a pattern of being, there's a difference between being nostalgic and you know, and then moving forward. You've got to reconcile nostalgia and history with progress. Agreed. And I think that's where a lot of people have difficulty with this. And I'll be the first to admit it. Sometimes that has happened to me too. But you have to recognize that things change, times change, and you know, people, a town has to progress and stay relevant. And if you don't stay relevant, then you're one of the vanishing towns that people remember and say, "Oh, remember when this used to be a place?" So,
agreed.
I think that that's a big part of your job is to keep that happening. So, how many organizations work under your auspices? How many other people groups are involved? Is like Celebrate Mattoon, Broadway District, are those all in there, or is that totally separate?
You know, we're more partners than we are in terms of like supervision over them. I think we all work together well. For me, we've got Bagel Fest, Lightworks, and 4th of July, which is our main three things that we do annually. And within those, there are variety of kind of different sizes of groups. So, for example, the Mattoon and Charleston partnership for Charleston and Mattoon's 4th of July. So that's like that's an opportunity for two communities to work together. And then other times, like for example, for Lightworks, it's a fairly small group because there's a, I don't know, there's like a good foundation for that built as well. So we work with a lot of different organizations, but are primarily for those three events.
Those are some pretty big ones. So you are the chief organizer for Bagel Fest, is that correct?
Yes. I have, you know, I have a team, a very small team.
That in and of itself.
It's a funny thing. I mean, we just celebrated 40 years of Bagel Fest last year. And like so many things, it started before I got here, but we have just worked so diligently to be, and you mentioned this word earlier, relevant to a community that's been here for, you know, looking at the same festival for years. What are we doing to keep it interesting? So that's the challenge every single year. True. And I have great people on my team for that, including some incredible volunteers. So there's staff and then there's volunteers, and it's quite an operation. So, you know, I'm very grateful to have those folks in my corner.
Well, that's the other thing too, that there are few things that are going to happen in any group, in any organization, any event that isn't backed up with a steady group of volunteers. And if you don't have those people, the event wouldn't happen. I know that that's true.
Totally agree.
Angelia, I'm one of these people that I do remember the first Bagel Fest. And that's one of those things, too, that like I was talking about earlier, I remember the Bagel Fest was downtown on Broadway. Everything was closed off. They had tables right down the middle of the street, handing out the bagels, and people, vendors and things up and down the sides. It was fun. And there were musical groups that came and performed, but it was hotter than blue blazes because there was no shelter. It was just, it was hot, but that's the way it started. And in many people's minds, that's where it should have stayed. And it's one of those things that, you know, they're moving it to Peterson Park probably was a very wise decision on many fronts, because I know now that you have larger entertainment, you have to have a place to put those people. And so when you first came 20 years ago, it was already out at Peterson Park, wasn't it?
It was. The one change that took place as I was starting was the idea of having the breakfast in DeMar Center instead of downtown. And I know a lot of folks were upset about that until they got inside of air conditioning and were able to enjoy that. And so it became something like, that was a great thing to romanticize. But the truth is we like not being completely overwhelmed by the heat. So it was one of those things where I was probably a good move, but it was hard on a lot of folks. And I understand that. I mean, it's one of those things where my background is in history and not in event planning. I just happened into event planning. Yeah. So I have a real deep respect, both for the bigger picture history of things, but also the interpersonal stuff. Right. I find as I've been around for a while now that I'm often the person going, remember when, 15 years ago, we did it this way or whatever. But I'm doing my very best as one of those folks to say, okay, well, this really worked and this is how we did it. Also, sometimes it's good to have a person in the room who's been through what didn't go well. And I've been through that too now to say, good example. We had a Christian artist. There was no Christian artist for many years at Bagelfest, and I kept getting requests to bring that night back. And so I had to reconfigure the way we did it in order for it to be successful, which worked. But it was okay to let it go for a while and then revisit it. And so I hope at some point I'm sort of standing in the gap there to make sure that people go, okay, well, that didn't work out, but how can we do it better? How can we revisit that? Because there's a lot of good stuff that you just got to rethink it. And resources, you know, change as time goes on too. Technology changes. And we can reevaluate with all those things in play.
I think too, when I mentioned Tom Doherty, that's something he had mentioned, that people have to be responsive to the citizens and make sure that what they're bringing in as far as, let's say, Emerald Acres or the entertainment that you're referenced to at Bagelfest is being responsible to what people want. And I think that's totally a very good thing for us to know that you listen to what people say, because so many times people do not have that feeling that they're being heard. And I think that's really important. And you know, like you said, when they can have a breakfast at the DeMars Center, it's much nicer and makes a lot more sense. So.
Well, we've done that with the Arts Council too. You know, there was probably a desire to have, you know, certain kinds of things that people think are art, high art. And I know that we've had lots of participants in the arts things that we've done, but we've tried to see what are people doing? What's the creative community in Mattoon interested in? You know, for a while, we had a very active quilt group that did a lot of events. They were very passionate. They were very committed. And some people might say that's not art, but the people in our community say, yeah, we think that's art and we are going to support it. Same thing with ukuleles. We had a really strong ukulele group for a while. You know, it's trying to be relevant to the people that we're serving.
And in many cases, changing and evolving, well, almost always changing and evolving is good. I know I spoke with Melissa Harden over the weekend about the photography show that's coming up. And I see this year it's going to be at Casey Summers. And I know that before it's been there in the depot. And the depot has its own energy, and it's I love the energy in that building. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the history of it, but there's just something about that building. But you know, I mean, Casey Summers' building is wonderful too. And he's just such a wonderful proponent for Mattoon and so generous. So I think that it's the light and the openness of the facility where the photography show will give a whole different appeal to the photography show.
Agreed. Well, just talking about this building in particular, I'm super committed to this building. I was here for sort of the evolution of what we were doing here. So, you know, back in the day when I first started, Jackie Record and Mattoon was so actively getting things done here with the Historical Society. And I remember the day that they opened up everything downstairs and it was beautiful. And a few of us creeped up here to where my room is now, where I'm sitting now, and looked around and thought, oh, golly, all the possibilities and all the people who have spent time here over the years and just sort of the cool history of it. And then, you know, fast forward and my office is here. We have this beautiful space here for multi-purpose use. And I'm the beneficiary of so many people coming in. Obviously, this is not on my shoulders, but people come in and talk about this building being special. I've had 100-year-old veterans come in, probably their last visit to Mattoon ever, to see the place where they went off to war, or show their family where they, you know, where they met their bride. You know, I mean, it's just wild. And so I just wanted to make sure I didn't forget to tell you that, because this building, it's special. Talk about honoring history.
Oh, sure. And then the museum down in the basement where Carolyn Cloyd, you know, kind of oversees that. I mean, that's another thing that it's just so appropriate for that to be there.
I completely agree. And it's one of those things, too, as we look into what's going on in downtown Mattoon, which is just incredible development and growth. And I think becoming more and more beautiful all the time. It's a space to do things in and to be a part of as a business owner or some folks that live down here. But the depot really is, in lots of ways, the catalyst building for that. Like when the depot starts looking like something that's not scary, but is approachable and safe, and all those things kind of came into being, it helped everything else sort of feel like it was possible. That's my opinion only, but it just feels like it was a really big turning point.
And the history of that, and then with the, we just had Chris Surdick on a couple of weeks ago, and I went to his book signing, which again was at Casey Summers Building, about the big dig that happened right next door to where you are to see, I mean, the book, oh my gosh. And Chris is, you talk about somebody that's a volunteer.
He is something special.
Oh, between Chris and Keith Summers and these people that, you know, that they're really, and they don't seek any glory for themselves. They're unsung heroes. They just they just do what they do because they have a passion for it. And you know, who can say anything but good about Chris? He's just got the biggest heart in the world.
Yes. Yes, agreed.
Yeah, that Mattoon History Center, when you talk about the history of Mattoon, and then, of course, having the original Burger King just down the alley. I mean, how does it, you don't get any better than that in this town, the things that we have. So, Angelia, when you get done with one Bagel Fest, do you immediately start the next meeting? Do you start planning what you're going to try to do the next year? Or do you have like a time where you have correction of errors, things that you did that you might have tried that didn't quite work out that you're going to try to improve on next time? Is it always in the state of planning?
There's always both. It's both the state of planning and the state of reflection, you know, making notes on as things are unfolding. You know, that was maybe not the best idea. That was a good thing to try, but didn't work. Or that was a real success. Because one of the things, this kind of comes full circle with the idea of keeping, you know, that sentimentality alive, as well as being open to very pragmatic things. Bagel Fest is a really good example of that, because in my mind, I want to produce something that people, that it does feel that there is an attachment to, that they went to this when they were a kid, or, you know, this is something that always happens in their community. In the meantime, I also want to have things that's like, okay, so what's new? How are we making this more interesting? Are we, for example, going back to the Christian concert that I mentioned earlier, a few years ago, we started bringing in free games before the show because it's a very family atmosphere evening. And so like, okay, you know, didn't cost us but a couple $100s, but it really felt like something really impactful to the families. Like they really appreciated it. And so those are the kinds of things we're always thinking of. And honestly, usually by the time we get to the middle of that week of Bagel Fest, somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm working on next year's theme. So it's always kind of like there's just never really an ending. We have Lightworks that comes right on the heels, which sounds crazy, but we have Lightworks planning comes right on the heels of Bagel Fest. And so there really isn't a stop moment, but we're always thinking about, you know, I mean, we're already working on entertainment for next year. We're already working on, you know, the logo, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's never ending, but it's very gratifying when you see people in the community show up for it, or you see people excited about who's coming in terms of music and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's very satisfying.
Well, having worked in retail all my life, I know that you're always, you know, you have to, the next season is always right in the, it's in the back room, always waiting to come out to the floor. You know, you always have to, it always is waiting in the wings all the time. So, and additionally, this year at Bagelfest, you had the looming problem of the water, the do not drink the water crisis. So, and that was, how did you deal with all that on top of everything else that's just thrown at the last minute?
Well, you know, my first, because it was probably about a week out when everything broke apart, and we just entered it into, are we able to do this? This is the first question. And if we're able to do this, what is required of us? You know, we ended up, this is a long, sort of the, at the ending of it, we're bringing in water from other places, and we had a tank, and for our vendors, we had ice brought in, because a lot of our vendors use an incredible amount of ice, especially in the middle of July. And so we made accommodations for that. It was one of those things where it was, we're in the same team. What are we going to be able to do to support some sense of normal? I think there was a lot of conversation around that. And the mayor and city council were very supportive of that. So, you know, we were able to pull it off. Obviously, there was an ebb and flow in terms of the water quality during that time. And so we were doing our best to keep everyone informed and supply people with what they need as much as we could. And honestly, people were really incredible about dealing with it. Like there wasn't, you know, obviously it was a big deal, but it wasn't in terms of our vendors and our, like our carnival, that kind of that, they were just great to work with. So it was challenging, but it worked.
Got to learn to roll with the punches, don't you?
Well, we say in event planning, I mean, especially in July. Well, we do something, we're crazy people. We do stuff in July and we do stuff in like December. So let's make it as either as cold as possible or hot as possible. And ask our volunteers to come out, you know, in sleeting snow or, you know, in terrible heat. So it's just one of those things. We have a philosophy at my office about, you do everything you can to control everything you can, because something unusual is going to come along, most likely, at least cyclically, and then you roll with the punches then, because you've got your main things in play and you got your people to count on, and that's what we did this year.
Well, speaking of rolling with the punches, the one my major crisis that everybody had to deal with in the last few years was COVID, and in the tourism business, that had to have been extremely challenging for you guys. So I know that when you have outdoor activities, you know, please talk about that.
So we were, like everybody else, kind of rolling on the assumption, you know, we had things in play, we were moving along, rolling on the assumption that, yes, it was only going to be 2 weeks. Yes, it was only going to be, you know, the next 2 weeks or whatever. And we had just announced that, yes, in fact, we were going with Bagelfest, and here's who our entertainers were. And then the governor basically closed the, for all practical purposes, the state down in so many ways. And so we had to pull back all those things. And it was super difficult. I mean, not so much difficult in terms of people understood, but it was a little heartbreaking because it's a lot of people. It's a big deal. And so we spent that time kind of refining some of our systems. We spent time working on, okay, so we've got this little bit of a gap. What are we going to come back with? And what can we support during the season? So, for example, I think it might have been the following. Well, it would have been during Lightworks, because Lightworks was, you know, on the heels of 21. We said, okay, we're going to do Lightworks. And we're going to do it because it sort of follows all the guidelines that we've been given. And that's probably our record year, because for so many people, they were just desperate to get out and do something, but there wasn't any outlet for that. But Lightworks provided an outlet for that in a way that people were comfortable with. So, you know, it's one of those things where you really learned the value. And I think other folks learned the value of how important community is, how important gathering is, how important, especially Mattoon, and maybe other places too. I can't speak for other places, but how important it was to be with other people. You know, like not be isolated. People, they really demonstrated their value for that. And that showed up additionally in the following year when we did Bagelfest. You know, people just were so excited about it. They were less concerned about, you know, who's going to be there and what's going to happen. We just want to be there. We want to be with people in our community and kind of celebrate that we're able to gather again. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't choose to do it again.
Oh, dear. No, I'm sure. Aikman Wildlife, when they opened up again, because they have their drive-through, and I only live like three or 4 miles from Aikman Wildlife. And when they opened that up and you drive past there, there was a mile of cars waiting to get in there because people were just chomping at the bit to go anywhere and do anything and see anybody, even from a distance, you know. And it was quite a thing, thankfully, to look at the taillights of that event.
Exactly.
So how Angelina, I've had several other people on from different towns and different areas around and talk about like Casey, big things in a small town, and Arcola's Broomcorn Festival. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned Aikman Wildlife and the Illinois Amish Heritage Center in Chesterville. How much do you work with all these other towns? I know the goal is to get people in Mattoon and have them spend their money there. But at the same time, I know there's a sense of region to get people into the whole area and stay longer or to come back and spend more time with their families and visit these areas. How do you coordinate with those people?
Well, you know, when I first started, I think this was tourism-wide. It wasn't just Mattoon and Central Illinois. We all kind of stayed in our locations and worried about ourselves and all did our own things. Mm-hmm. And it was just a different season. It seems like, and especially as we're right now in, you know, the growth of Emerald Acres, the plans that are made there, Mattoon is working with other communities. I know a lot of folks in other communities around us and smaller communities are very excited about what's happening here because it does benefit them. You know, Aikman Wildlife, you mentioned them. What a great opportunity for people to come to Mattoon, still stay here because hotels are here primarily. Not, you know, there's other hotels, but we've got all kinds of resources here. Then they can go to Aikman Wildlife. They can go to see the big things in Casey. And that's kind of the way this is evolving right now. I'm also working with a group called ECIDC, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Casey is involved in that. Casey and Tom is very involved in that. So we're working together right now to build something that is even more collaborative about, okay, so if you're here, what else can you see? If you're here for a ball game, here's some things you can do, or here's places you should definitely visit. And so there, I think that is just continuing to become more and more important. I think that the season of being in silos and not participating with other communities is over. It's just not a realistic way for us all to grow. And so I feel like we're in a better spot now than we've ever been in terms of getting that done. And so I'm, you know, big things in Casey's, for example, I know that they're sending people to us, whether they, you know, as they continue to grow and develop as well.
Mm-hmm. So you said, what was that acronym you gave, ECIDC? What does that stand for?
Yeah, ECIDC. It's the Eastern Economic Development Corporation.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, okay, gotcha.
East Central, my apologies. East Central Illinois. I have to think about it. ECIDC. Yeah.
There's so many acronyms to keep.
Yes. And it's a group of, I think it's 11 counties that they participated in economic development, which is not necessarily my area, but they do have, we're developing a tourism committee that's committed to that specific lane. So I feel like there's a lot more collaboration than there used to be, which is a positive.
Oh. Do you think, I mean, is there ever, I mentioned this in a question to you, but I may be kind of out there, but I don't know if there'd ever be some time that somebody would start a business shuttling people to these different places so they don't have to drive on their own. I mean, I know it's kind of an Uber type thing, but where they could hire, you know, vans to go and take them to these different places. I mean, I don't know. Do you think there's anything that would ever...
Yeah, that has been discussed. I think some attempts have been made and just... Either it was timing or all the pieces didn't come together. Cause I do think there could be, that could work out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so far I haven't seen somebody, you know, sort of dive into that. Cause I think ideally it would be a private entity, but I don't know. I know we've talked to over the years at different times, like Dial a Ride, which picks up people here at the depot or, you know, works through the Lifespan Center. Because of the way they're funded, it wouldn't work for them, but you know, there's all kinds of conversations to be had around that.
Yeah, people could start out at original Burger King and then, you know, go to the History Center and go to, well, they didn't, wouldn't need a shuttle for that, but, you know, to sign up for a different area, different tour, and maybe not go to Burger King, maybe go from the History Center to Yoder's at Arthur, and then maybe come, you know, maybe just an Amish-based one where they start at Yoder's and go to the Elner Amish Harry Center and, you know, drive by and visit a few homes.
Yeah, so building itineraries.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I think it's a very exciting possibility. So, what do you think? Do you have anything new on the horizon? I mean, I know there's so many things percolating underneath the surface with Emerald Acres, but is there anything that we haven't heard of yet that's on the horizon? I know we heard about this sporting complex coming for years, and a lot of times people say, "Oh, believe it when I see it." Well, it's there.
Yeah.
And I know, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Rural King play a pretty big part in a lot of this because they're in the real estate business too?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the origins of Emerald Acres is definitely Rural King. I think it's important, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we've done this incredible sports complex and continue to grow it, but we had some really good sports things going on here. So it just totally makes sense. Rural King may have some other, you know, tricks up their sleeve for sure. I think that for us as a department, one of the things we've worked on the last couple of years is creating things that we think are like photo worthy, or we could put in an itinerary, the Mattoon sign downtown. We just unveiled a world's largest bagel sign downtown where the next to the murals. Peyton Morrow is our local mural artist, is about to finish up the third installation of a small mural that will be a part of basically like an itinerary, so that somebody could come to Mattoon and say, "Oh, here's where all the murals are downtown," or "Here's where the murals are downtown, and I could go to the History Center." So the idea behind that was to add a little color to downtown, but not necessarily do full walls of murals, because we've done that and we love them. But what can we do to layer in more? So for us, I think we're going to focus in 26 more on promoting the things that we've done well so far, you know, really packaging up the murals, for example, the historical things that we have together, making some sort of efforts with ECIDC to have information available at other cities and locations so that we can tie that all together. We've been really kind of in a building process in lots of ways. And so now it's kind of like putting the fine point on it. And I'm sure that will be, it will be less like, "Oh, there's something new downtown." It's more like, "Oh, I will put these things together when my family comes to town, or my friends come to town," or, you know, we get contacted by a lot of businesses. We've got folks who want to see what's going on in Mattoon. Okay, well, here's a list of all the things that we're proud of. So we're going to be working on that more diligently.
And even people who have lived here all their lives, like me, can learn so much. I mean, I knew we had, you know, the Grant had a part here, Ulysses Grant, but I had no idea how big his place was and what the history was of his involvement and the troops and all that until I went to the History Center and studied more of it, learned more about it. And I'm certainly not a scholar of it by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, places like that and De Beers being, you know, where they are and how long they've been there. And, Vernie was on a few weeks ago and talked about all the history that is there. And so, you know, I think it's so exciting to be in your shoes and to be dealing with this and your background in history and dealing with all the history here and then all the possibilities of what, you know, what can happen to bring things. I think that's so exciting.
It is exciting. Bernie is one of the best. He's another one of those folks who's just doing things and just making things happen. So, things like what he's doing with the Midtown Market. We have other folks who, like the cruising downtown that we had, basically it's one Friday a month for over the spring and summer. You know, those kinds of folks are doing those kinds of things, and we have the pleasure of being able to promote those folks and what they're doing. So it's great that, you know, that we do Bagel Fest and 4th of July and Lightworks. We're proud of those, but we're also able to promote what other folks are doing. And it's pretty impressive this is, once again, not about my department. It's more about the community. They really They really like to have an event, and they really like to get together, and they really have, coming out of COVID, that's been the biggest lesson for me, is watching the number of events just explode. And so I think that positions us to be more and more interesting to people.
Well, we are a party people. I'm just kidding. We kind of are, though.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true.
It's just like it's so easy for people to be negative, and I follow along in the good old days of Matt Toon, but again, where Chris is kind of the last word on so many things to do with history. But it's when you see people being negative, I think there's less and less of that. I do believe there's less and less of it than there had been, because you know you don't gain anything by being negative. Really, and eventually nobody wants to be around you, but just this, the hopefulness that of what's going on, I think, is just a wonderful thing for Matt Toon, and I think that you guys are doing a wonderful job.
Well, it's a good, you know, I've always enjoyed my job. I mean, because there's so many connections, relationships that they just continue to. You know, I've been lucky enough to be Kurt Stretch, who was our previous park superintendent, and Mark Nelson, who helped me for 4th of July for years. These folks are retired now. Justin Grady at Lytle Park. I mean, I've been around long enough to have the pleasure of those as my go-to people. And now as I'm, you know, in a different season, we have new go-to people who show up because people love this community. And it's it really makes putting on events a real pleasure. You know, a lot of work for sure, but you know, if people show up, it's like having a party and people show up, you know, and not dismiss what's happening, you know, so that's good. Yeah. It's very good.
Well, you mentioned Lytle Park. That's another one that's dear to my heart. I grew up west of Matt Toon, west of where the original Rural King was. My dad actually, in fact, had the first check cashing card that Rural King issued back in the day. That's how far back I go.
Wow.
But work, yes. I went to school at Bennett School. And so when they tore down Bennett School, they tore down, I felt like part of my heart went with it because, I mean, my memories were tied to that school, some of my best memories. But
sure.
What they have done in Lytle Park and how they've enhanced that, and to go in there, park your car, whether you're just going to sit there and eat your lunch or just sit there and, you know, before you get out and take a walk in the summertime, to go out and hear kids laughing and having a good time and playing. Mm. I close my eyes and I'm back in Bennett School again, although I'm not the one That's out right. there on the swings playing, but that takes you back. And so, you know, there again, you have to pack up your sentimentality and keep them safe, but also realize times change and they have to move forward. And, you know, there's no denying our beautiful schools that we have now.
Right.
So, Angelia, what do you do to relax? Do you have any hobbies? What do you, anything? I know you said you like history.
You know, I do. I have to tell you, I don't get to read as much as I'd like to, but I love, I've got a book, 10 books deep sitting next to my bed, trying to get through. And I recently, this is silly more than anything, we lost our puppy. She was 14. And so we have now rescued a dog that is the size of a horse. And so I feel like my life is built around my puppy right now. But I do like to, he's a Great Dane, and he's a lab mix, and he's beautiful and just crazy. So I feel like my life is built around my dog right now.
That's wonderful.
So I feel like that my reading time is being given over to a puppy throwing a ball.
But
I feel like I like to get outside. I like to go to the gym. I like to cook. You know, pretty much a homebody in lots of ways. But I think probably that's a reaction to my job more than than anything, because I'm always out moving. So then when I get a chance to have a seat and hang out at home, I'm glad to do it.
Well, you have a high visibility job, and I'm sure it's nice to have some downtime away from that. But when you have how big is this dog, this puppy? How big is this dog going to get?
He's not full grown. I mean, he's going to be a year next month, so he's not totally filled out yet. But he looks like he's got the energy of a lab, but he looks like a Great Dane. So he's just a wild combination.
How funny. How funny. Yeah. Maybe someday we'll get to see my little, I love dogs. I had two chocolate labs that were sisters and litter mates. Then I had to have them put to sleep the same day when they were 12 and a half years old.
Oh, no.
But the only positive thing was the vet came to my house. So that did make it a little.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that made it a little more bearable because I talked to him and told him what was happening. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that they probably knew nothing I said, but in my heart, I know that they, you know, I did the right thing. It was one of those things that had to be.
Yes.
So, Angelia, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get to the contact information?
I would just invite anybody listening that we currently have, and we've had this for many years, but a lot of folks still don't know about it, an email that goes out on Wednesdays that lists out all the things that we know about that's going on in our area, primarily Mattoon, but a handful of things that, you know, are going on at Eastern and things that are that hit that tourism note, too. And we just continue to add to that list. And it's great for both a personal reason, but also from a business standpoint, we have a lot of folks who look at that list and plan their own partnerships or own events, or, you know, it's actually been quite a useful tool. So if anybody goes onto our website, and there's a place to sign up for that.
Okay. And what is your website?
It's exploremattoon.org.
Okay. And do you have a Facebook page or any other social media page, Instagram or anything?
Yes, we kind of have several. We have Mattoon Tourism and Arts, which is our central page. And then for Lightworks and for Bagel Fest, we have separate pages for real-time information. But we typically will put everything out on the Mattoon and Tourism Facebook page.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to ask one more question about Lightworks. I didn't ask much about Lightworks. It is a wonderful, wonderful event. You always have a walkthrough before you open it up to traffic, I believe. How many hours does it take to assemble that?
I don't know how many hours. They start at, the Parks Department puts it all together. And I would tell you, they started almost the 1st of October, because you don't know what the weather is going to be like. So I'm going to say, you know, we're talking about an entire month of getting it prepped. And so we have on the 20th of November is our walkthrough. What's lovely about that, for me, is that it's in the same space as Bagel Fest. And Bagel Fest is kind of loud and noisy and all the bells and whistles of, you know, a festival. And then the walkthrough and especially the drive-through of the Fest of Lightworks is so intimate. You don't come with people that you don't like. You know, you're showing up with your dogs and your kids. And volunteers talk about all the wonderful stories. There's always kids singing carols, and there's hot chocolate, and there's, you know, dogs in the car. And it's just, it's one of the most, talk about sentimentality. It just gets, it's all the feels of what I think the Christmas season should be. So it's just lovely when those lights turn on. I am just, my heart just, you know, grows, I think.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I think it's a wonderful experience. And I like the walkthrough because then you get to see all these children around you. I mean, my eyes are bright too, and I'm 73 years old. I don't care. I'm never too old for Christmas. And see the wonder on their faces and that excitement, that anticipation is just, it's wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so glad that we get to highlight that before the event happens. So,
yes. So it's coming up quickly.
Yes, it is. It does everything. Just people always say in all my life, I heard people say the older you get, the faster it goes. And it's like right now, I feel like I'm on a, everything's double time. I feel like I'm on a 78 instead of 33, 45, 78. A lot of people don't understand that reference anymore. But
I got
once
that.
I asked my nephew once, and he's in his 40s now, and he was a little kid. I said something about, do you know what the numbers 33, 45 and 78 mean? And he said, are those the ages of your ex-husbands?
Oh, that's good.
No, but I suppose we could go with that, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. So I didn't call him that, but it was kind of funny. Well, Angelia, I can't thank you enough for taking time. I know we've had some issues here getting it all together, but you've just been a delight to talk with and to learn from. I just That's the reason I love doing this podcast. I learn so much, and I want other people to learn all the wonderful things that Matt June has to offer. And,
well, I appreciate it so much.
Well, I appreciate you saying you would be here. So, again, thank you so much for Angela Birgit for being here, Director of Tourism and Arts Director of the City of Mattoon. Thanks again, Angela.
Thank you.
And thank you, people, for listening. And that'll be it for this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. Please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.